This is Radio. Music to the nth degree.
Awoke all in white, right in the middle of the night. I hoped the news that I had with no reason why. No, I wasn't kind, probably lost your mind. But all I couldn't find, one reason I'd run a mile. I heard it from the out of the cathedral. Baby, I was gonna break your heart. Hidden in the past of something evil. Knew we had to stop before we started to torture each other and wonder why we ever promised until we die. And I swore.
Good afternoon, Wrangle. You're listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1 p.m., and we have our guest, Kate Thomas, on the line. As you know, she is with Parks and Recreation, and so we're going to get an update from her on what is up with Parks and Recreation these days and what they have in store for the future. If you have a question in mind for Kate, we can take those calls. You can call us at 907-874-2345, and you can pose a question to Kate or just say hi. So we're very glad that we have the capability to take your calls now. We had to kind of work that out. So do give us a call if you would like. So, Kate, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, June. It's interesting that we can't see each other in person, but this will suffice for the good of the people.
Yeah, you sound great. I'm glad we could do this.
Awesome.
Yeah. So just give us a sense of what has been going on with your department since the official closures. What have you been up to, and how have you been reaching out to your people?
So that's a great question. I think the shutdown of facilities statewide, nationwide, for recreation administrators has been challenging, to say it the very least. I think we're driven and motivated by the people, and sometimes it's makes it challenging when you can't see people face to face. So it's been an interesting road, and we've really relied on some model programming outreach from other communities statewide. I would say that Alaska is very lucky to have the recreation managers and staff that they do in the various communities around our region, and like I said, statewide. So as far as kind of what we've been up to, we shut down facilities on the afternoon of March 13th. So we're nearing the end of a 2-month stint in this new way of living. Since that time, of course, our recreation assistants and lifeguards are currently not working. Obviously, the swimming pool is closed, so those operations affected the staffing schedule. But one thing we wanted to do, understanding sort of the effects of shutdown and limited contact with staff, we had concerns about maintaining those relationships, to encourage those folks to return when it was safe to do so. So we've put in a real significant effort to continue communicating with folks through regular text messaging. Lucy Robinson contacted each staff by either a Zoom meeting, a FaceTime, or just a general phone call. And I'm pleased to report that the majority, if not all of our staff that are staying on the island for the foreseeable future are interested and more than willing to come back to work with Parks and Recreation. So we're really excited about that potential and feel grateful that our folks are committed to the mission and are eager to return to normal operations when the time is right. So that's one thing we've focused on. Another area that we've focused on is the organization and cleanup of both the community center and the swimming pool. The bulk of the work in those areas has been done internally and throughout all areas within those two facilities. So, you know, spring cleaning in essence, and that really sets us up for a smooth re-entry into normal operations when that time comes. And then, of course, adapting to the virtual world and trying to engage the general public in the online forum. So I think we've been successful in that regard. But as you would imagine, there's weak points there for folks who maybe don't engage in social media or don't have the means or access to the internet. So I know that we are missing a portion of children and families because of the lack in direct link and connection to those folks, meaning the face-to-face opportunities. So that is a concern of ours, but we are pleased with our efforts in regards to virtual programming. Lucy's done a great job in kind of keeping up with Facebook and general public outreach. So those are kind of the high points of what we've got going on, June. So thanks for letting me introduce those pieces.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Kate. So, yes, you mentioned that you are getting messaging across on Facebook and your other digital platforms. Can you just tell me a little bit of what that messaging looks like? And, you know, for the folks that don't have access to that, you know, what's the messaging that you want to get out to them in case, you know, they don't have access to those platforms, but they might be tuning in right now?
Great. Thanks for that opportunity again. So to start initially, I think the general consensus nationwide is that it was abrupt and it was shocking. And with every change in routine comes a period of adjustment. And we're no stranger to that and recognized it as it was coming on. So it took us a few days, if not a week, to kind of get our bearings and adjust to the new way of living and what that might look like for us. But early on, we really did focus on best practices and getting information out to folks regarding social distancing, making sure that they were conducting themselves safely and in outdoor spaces. I would say that Alaska is uniquely positioned to continue to enjoy outdoor recreation. And more specifically, I would say Wrangell is positioned for that more so than other communities. I know statewide in areas like Anchorage, even green spaces were closed down, not just playgrounds. So hats off to Wrangell for following the expectations and best practices while they were out recreating. And thank heavens we have the privilege of living in a space and place where we have room to really move about, because that is not the case in a lot of other areas. So that was sort of our initial push, how to operate and what the guidelines were, and then also still encourage folks to use those outdoor spaces to the maximum degree possible while maintaining distance from others. Unfortunately, we did end up having to close the playground. So that was a component of our outreach to folks, just because that's a common surface and definitely a container or vessel for passing germs. So that was another area that we had to update the public on. And now at this point, we're more focused on, you know, youth activities, and trying to consolidate, you know, people were just inundated with all the options. And I think it became quite overwhelming. And I can imagine folks with multiple children at home and the various dynamics, it was sort of hard to know what was the best option, where to find it, and how to conduct these at-home activities. So we tried to centralize that information and pool what we thought was compelling and productive from the web, and kind of channel that stuff towards the general public. So Lucy's done a great job. We also have been very mindful about the language that we use. Right now, I don't know that I ever have an email with someone outside of my normal communication thread that doesn't say something to the tune of, and we're thinking of you in these difficult times, or we're thinking of you in these uncertain times. There's a lot of COVID heavy conversation, and that's appropriate. And we also wanted to be conscious of tempering that a little bit and making sure that our message was positive and uplifting, and that it wasn't necessarily intertwined with a lot of COVID specific language. Because it does become consuming and overwhelming if you haven't noticed. that is sort of the message in general that we've sent out to folks. If that is clear.
Yeah, exactly. So you've been offering ways for families to engage with each other at home, and then, you know, letting folks know, hey, you still live in a place that is really great for outdoor recreation, despite the playgrounds being closed. You really have access to do pretty much the same sort of outdoor activities that you had.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you know, I think there was a period where folks were really getting after it, and there was some potential traffic jamming at the nature trail, one of our more popular sites in town over at the volunteer park. And so that was something we had to mitigate a little bit, encouraging folks to sort of, you know, take a poll of the number of cars in a parking lot and determine whether that's the best place for you to be. And if it's not the only place for you to recreate, perhaps it would be nice to try something else for a change of scenery. Especially knowing that park in particular, its access is easy. Its gradient is fairly consistent, and the surface itself that you walk on is reasonably smooth. So it appeals to a broader and maybe perhaps an older demographic of folks. So we did end up encouraging folks that have better mobility or, more diverse opportunities to seek those out if they found themselves in concentrated areas.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for that, Kate. It just makes sense. Yeah, and taking a pool of, seeing what cars are there, that's a really easy way to do it. You know, you don't even have to get out of your car and, you know, get your kid out of the car. You can just see there visually, okay, I could walk somewhere else. I do that a lot because my dog doesn't like other dogs, so I'm an expert in that. I recommend it.
I think my dog is not particularly fond of other dogs too, which is why we never seem to get close enough to really say hi to each other when we're out with our respective pets.
Exactly. You understand. Thank you, Kate.
I do.
Cool. I appreciate it.
To that end, I think what this little conversation spurred my memory. We are encouraging folks, and it is listed in the community's municipal code, the leash law. So while I know that there are a lot of playful dogs out there that really just love running amok and having a good time when they're out in these public recreation spaces, we are asking folks to be more prudent about leashing their pets. I think the science continues to unfold and new information is brought forth about the transmission of the virus and the mechanisms in which that can occur. And I think there is risk in transmission animal to human, human to animal, et cetera. And so when folks are out on the trail, we are asking them to leash up their pets and also recognize that not just for COVID times, but that's important at any time, because while your dog may be on the best behavior, you don't know the behavior of those other leashed dogs around the area that your dog might bump into. So just a big shout out to the folks that are leashing up their dogs, and two pats on the back for those that are picking up their dog waste. Can't help but put a plug in for that.
Always. Thank you, Kate. Great job. Okay, so I would like for us to kind of look to the future, unless there's anything else you would like to speak to on what you've been doing and things like that.
No, but before we do move on, I do want to give a shout out to all the people who are members of the swimming pool and recreation facility, participants of our recreation programs, children of the dance program, of the wrestling program, of the swim club, of all of these things that in a moment's time ceased to exist. And we miss those folks and we think about them a lot. There are many, many people in our community who visit the recreation facility every day, folks who come in for their 3-day-a-week classes, our volunteer committee and groups of folks that facilitate those classes. It really isn't the same without them. I can wholeheartedly say their lives have been altered, no doubt, and so have ours by not seeing them. But it is those interactions and those persons that we've worked with that motivates us to get creative about how we can continue servicing the Wrangell community in COVID times and then whatever is to come after COVID in this new future of ours. So big shout out. We miss all those people. We love you. We've been thinking about you. Just wanted to put that plug in there before we move on to the future talk.
Yeah, right on, Kate. Thank you. I'm sure they miss you too. So,
gosh darn it.
So yeah, let's go ahead. What is in the future for parks and recreation? You know, that means as far as activities that you will be having and that you won't be having.
Well, that's a good interlude to our COVID plan. And there's a few things, layers that I want to kind of address to the general public. I'll start with currently our playgrounds are still closed. We are still asking for folks to refrain from using our picnic tables and common surfaces. And our downtown restrooms and public restrooms throughout parks are also closed. Currently, we do not have our seasonal parks on staff, our maintenance personnel that folks would see come May 1st and through the rest of the season. We're working to iron out those details, and we have a plan in place for hygiene and disinfection and those things related to the restrooms. By this point, historically, those areas would have been open with the drive of the visitor population. Right now, because restrooms can be a vessel for all kinds of germs, we have refrained from opening, and we're still in discussions about when we will open. And as soon as we have that information confirmed, we'll put out a public notice to folks. So just want folks to continue preparing appropriately when they go to visit parks so that they have taken care of their personal needs before they begin recreating, because those services are currently not available. So that's one area. I also want to address the fact that the state mandate driving the phased reopening of our economy, and for the time being, we are still restricted from normal operations. So with mandate 16, outdoor activities are able to commence, as well as outdoor fitness classes. But as far as indoor fitness centers and swimming pools and youth sporting activities, we are still restricted from opening those areas of our program or department. So I just want that to be clear. I know there's been a couple of folks with the concept of reopening are very eager to get back into the swimming pool to cure all those aches and pains and get back to their normal fitness routine. But unfortunately, we're unable to do that until the mandates are released with those new new parameters of operating. So until that comes, we don't know exactly what the mandate is going to look like, and we anticipate sort of a phased opening of our facility. And so I'll talk briefly about that to not take up too much time there, but we are considering opening the weight room and cardio equipment to begin with, and restricting access to the locker room and the bathroom, although the lobby restrooms would be open. And then as a second phase of opening the facility, move towards the locker room and the swimming pool. And that will just allow us to, slowly regenerate our staff schedule, and also make sure that we're following best practices, our staff are trained appropriately, and that we maintain safety, which is the top priority for the general public and our staff. Again, while that's sort of our best assessment of what's to come, we will be directed by the state mandate. So just want to put that out there to folks as they anticipate Parks and Rec opening up again. And we don't necessarily know exactly when the state's going to release that. The second phase of the reopening of the economy could come as early as Friday this week, although I'm not sure that we yet have a good pulse on what this initial phase has had an effect on the case outbreak or caseload related to COVID. So hopefully that makes sense to folks, but we'll keep you abreast of any new information that we find as it comes to us. So that's kind of parks, restrooms, and then, you know, the facility itself. And then I'm sure folks are eager to know about things like summer recreation, which is a 40-year-old program at this point, which offers childcare, supplemental childcare, and day activities for youth. That's probably one of the most precious programs to the community. So we'll touch on that. And then, of course, swim lessons as well. And we know how important learning to swim is, given the dynamic geography of where we live. So do you have any questions, June? I just want to not be too long-winded here, but kind of touch the programs next.
You're doing great, Kate. You're hitting all the points that I would like for you to hit on, and you're going to talk about programs. And, you know, I think you mentioned that you're going to ease into this not just because, you know, there's going to be sanitary restrictions from the state, you know, everybody's easing into it. You also mentioned that this is just what needs to be done for your staff as well. And it's like, you know, I'll watch the news sometimes, and I remember watching, you know, de Blasio talk in New York, and, you know, they're talking about, I mean, just how there's so many cases there, and it's just, you know, it's so restricted right now. There's so many cases, and yet they also had folks that were saying, well, what's going to happen to our beaches? What's going to happen to our youth programs? And I think what I got from that, and my point is that while the state is deciding when things open up, you all have to plan for things. You know, you can't just, okay, well, the governor said we can do this, so we're going to do it tomorrow. You know, it takes the planning, and I'm assuming that's why, Kate, that, you know, you are still looking into what those programs could look like. You know, is that adequate? Is that accurate?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that is. Recreation is all about planning. And when you're trying to service the community, an element of the plan is understanding the need and developing the plan to accommodate or address that need. And then, of course, there's a number of layers in planning related to staffing and then the resources associated with those programs. And I think for the general public, you know, case in point, the economy opened nearly 2 weeks ago, and yet some of the businesses that fall under Mandate 16 have yet to open. And so just because there's the opportunity to do so does not necessarily mean everyone's positioned and poised to launch, you know, right out of the gate. There's a lot more that goes into it. And given the dynamics of infectious disease, there's a lot of layers of risk, and it looks different for every person. So I think that further complicates the situation. Many people in the community will remember in 2015 when the swimming pool closed for a period of time so that a project could address the break in the pool's foundation that was causing a leak, a substantial leak and equated to a high volume of water loss. The pool was closed for nearly 6 months. And I think the public will remember that we weren't able to return to full throttle operations immediately upon completion of that project. We had to sort of rebuild our staff capacity because a lot of folks, after a series of months and inactivity, tend to move on. Now, I said earlier in the interview that we've maintained communications with our staff team, which we didn't necessarily focus on during that 2015 closure. So I'm grateful that those that are available are willing to return and commit. So that makes it much easier, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it won't take some time to work all of those things out. And we also have yet to understand the full scope of the economic impact and how that might play into budget and general operations in the future. I think Parks and Recreation has developed a pretty efficient operation and solid programming that is of value to the community. So we will certainly hold on to the things of top priority. But yeah, there's a lot of planning that goes into the whole thing. And it's interesting because the information is dynamic and it doesn't necessarily come in a sequence that's easy to interpret always. So we're adapting, and we appreciate the public's patience with the process.
Yeah, Kate, thank you so much. It makes perfect sense. And yeah, just give us a sense of, you know, what we do know at this point or what we might be able to anticipate about those summer programs.
Yeah, so summer recreation, as I was saying earlier, is sort of the cream of the crop programming along with our swim lesson programs. And it's my understanding right now that with the current status of the mandates laid out in number 16, which I continue to reference, we are not able to offer swim lessons or summer recreation in the capacity that we have in the past. The numbers are limited, and the piece that makes it further, challenging is that the kids have to be in the same group. So for example, in the past, 50 kids could enroll in summer recreation, and that total number of children could change. The kids could change each day. Whereas under this new mandate, if the program is limited to 10 children, it has to be the same 10 children each day. And so that makes it challenging. Are we going to offer one program for only 10 children for the entire summer? Is that the preference of the community? That answer is yet to be known. So we're exploring that a little bit. But we've talked about some modifications to Summer Rec. Could we offer a series of activities? So we'd call them focus groups, if you will, where 10 children can enroll in, and there would be for a series of weeks, maybe 4 to 8 weeks. And things we've discussed are an outdoor recreation program where 10 kids could enroll, a basketball program where 10 kids could enroll, so on and so forth. And so that gives us an opportunity there to still engage with the kids face-to-face in smaller groups with, structured activities, but mitigates the large group setting for extended periods of time for a variance of children, if that makes sense. So that's one element. The other piece that I think is particularly concerning is youth access to healthy meals in the summer. The school has done a fabulous job adapting to COVID times and providing virtual curriculum. And they've also had a pretty robust meal program. And it's my understanding that an average of 25 kids are tapping into that program a day, and that staff are either running a pickup line or a delivery service. And so I think that's a really niche need that Parks and Rec is heavily focused on for the summer. And so we'll probably model our operations after the school. And that's not necessarily confirmed yet. We need to coordinate with the school a little bit further and understand if they have plans to offer those types of services throughout the summer as well. So we're not duplicating efforts. But that's an area of concern, is face-to-face engagement with the youth in the summertime. And then obviously making sure that all of our kids have access to healthy meals throughout the summer as well. So those two modified options will supplement if indeed we're forced to alter summer recreation in a significant capacity. So that's one layer of it. And then the last thing I would touch on for Summer Rec, and again, these are sort of developmental things, they're in their infancy, but we're looking at offering an online babysitting course and CPR certification. And members of the community that are interested in offering childcare services to the public would be able to engage in those courses, obtain certifications for them, positioning them to better serve families and youth within the community. Because that, I would say, is probably the biggest value of Summer Rec, is it offers 5 hours of structured activity, which ultimately is childcare in the summertime. And it's for a very moderate cost. So that's, we're trying to address that need in the best way possible. So if folks have ideas about those things or opinions or preferences, I strongly urge the public to reach out to us. You can email recreation@wrangell.com or email kthomas@wrangell.com. Or give us a call, and we'd be happy to return your call and talk more about summer recreation, because we know that's a big priority for folks. So unless you have any questions about that, I could move on to the summer swim lessons. Although we haven't totally ironed out those details either yet. So,
yeah. Okay. Well, I think I have a grasp on what these activities could look like. You know, they're going to be limited. It's like almost like a class setting. Like you are enrolled in this class from day yes. one. You can't really just enroll later on. And yeah, I mean, it sounds like it's a small chunk of time for these kids to get out of the house and engage with peers. And it's just going to be on a more intimate level.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. Hopefully everybody else caught that, but your interpretation is spot on. So thanks for translating for me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, you're fine. Yeah. Intimate. Yeah. I mean, intimate. Yeah. I can only imagine, you know, how many classes that would be and what would even be the range of those activities. But yeah, I look forward to that. Yeah, keep going, Kate. Swim.
Okay. It's likely that we wouldn't be able to offer our routine group swim lessons. If we are able to modify that in smaller groups, we'll certainly do so. However, our plan to address that need will likely look like private swim lessons in a one-on-one setting with an instructor. So based on instructor availability, we'll develop that plan a little bit further. But I think, you know, the potential for risk around water is high, and we want to make sure that we're still finding a way to help foster an opportunity to learn how to swim. So again, that will be likely conducted through private one-on-one swim lessons or a 2-to-1 ratio of swimmer to instructor. So again, like all these operations, the general mission or purpose of them is similar, but the scope of the operation and the way it's facilitated look different, of course. So that kind of covers our primary summer programming. And again, I strongly urge the general public to come forth and share their thoughts and hopes and desires with us. And hopefully we can put out a mini survey to the community so that they have a platform in which to easily provide us that input. But don't hesitate to call Lucy or I. We're here for you, and we want to make sure that we have your input moving forward.
Right on, Kate. Thank you so much. So I don't want to take too much more of your time, but I understand that you also have some virtual activities coming up. Let's just get a rundown of what those are and what they look like.
Yeah, so we have a virtual run coming up, and we also have the Wrangell Talent Show, and the virtual talent show is something I'm particularly excited about. And hats off to Lucy for being so creative. She's a classy, creative virtual machine, and the talent show has multiple. Age categories. So we've got, you know, your youth and or child and youth category, adult category, and a pet category. So for all you shy individuals out there, I'm sure your pet isn't as shy. So put them out there, expose their talents, and enter them into the contest. I think the idea is that everyone would submit their videos, and then there would be a public poll for judging the winners of those. So that's coming up towards the end of this month. I think the deadline is May 30th, or the announcement will be May 30th with an earlier deadline for submission. So that information can be found at our website as well as on Facebook. And here, just to clarify, yes, the videos are due May 28th, and the winners would be announced on the 30th. And the age categories are 0 to 10, 11 to 17, and 18 and up. And your pet can be any age. No restrictions there. So we're excited about that. I hope we get some fun submissions. No doubt the youth of Wrangell will provide us with something grand. And then we have our virtual fun run. And I'm looking for the date here in my notes, and it's escaping me. But I encourage the folks to go to our website or go to our Facebook page and get that information. And of course, we'll be sharing it with KSDK for the community calendar. So thank you for continuing that service to us. I think it's more important now than ever to see the value in public radio.
Thank you, Kate. I appreciate that a lot. And just give me a sense of what is a virtual run.
Yeah, so it gives you the illusion that maybe you're like running in the orbit here, but you're not. You actually go out and pound the pavement or the treadmill or whatever you like to do. I think the intent is that you document the run and share that within the group with the mileage and the time and those elements. But really it's just encouraging folks to get out, get after it and, continue moving your body. If, folks haven't, realized, it's a huge, coping mechanism, just general daily movement. And so we're eager to continue encouraging folks to get out and do those things. So nope, you're not running in the orbit. You're actually running out on the ground. The virtual element is a way to connect all the people that are participating in that particular event.
Okay, right on. This makes sense. So you're clocking your times and maybe saying, I ran in this direction. I was around this trail and yada yada.
Yeah. Exactly. Cool. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on. It just looks different, we're trying to still make the dreams come true for all the reasons for all the people.
Yeah, Kate, thank you so much for what you do with Parks and Recreation. Of course, I think recreating is pretty important during these times, and I'm glad that you're able to get your message out to the people because I think they miss you too.
Well, thanks for saying that, June. And as always, Talk on the Rock, it's one of the greatest recent inventions of KSDK. And I know you're a proponent or sort of the driver of that. So it's a great show. Love coming on. And thanks for all that you guys are doing to keep the community connected and the services flowing. It's not been easy for anyone, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, thank you for coming on. As always, thank you for being so open to being part of the show.
Yeah, you bet, Jen. Thanks again, and look to forward to talking to you sometime when we don't have our dogs in tow.
Our dogs are terrible dogs. My terrible dog. Yeah. Okay. Well, Kate, thank you so much, and take care.
All right. Bye, June.
Bye. All right. You have been listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1:44. And as always, we will be back next week with another guest. See you then. Can you ask me if she died?